Disciples should do that too, because all they're doing is feasting the night away. Don't you know, Jesus, religion is a serious thing. Austere spirituality is where it's at. This is no time to celebrate. And through it all, even when they tightened their political screws, Jesus held his own. And at this point, Jesus told them three stories. Three stories designed to move them from form to essence. Three stories to move them from traditionalism to a relevant, grace-filled experience with God. You know how it is when you go to a wedding, he said. Everybody's having a great time. Everybody eats the food and drinks the drinks, and they carry on. They sing and they dance because they're so thrilled to be in the presence of the bride and the groom. Then what happens when the bride and groom slip away for their honeymoon? Everybody gets sad because they have to go back to work. Well, Jesus said, what we've got going here is a lot like a wedding. I'm here with my friends. This is no time to be glum and sour. This is no time to be sad and cry. That can come later, but for now, we're together, and we have every reason to celebrate. There's another way to look at this, Jesus said. When you got holes in an old work shirt or an old pair of jeans, you never take a piece of fabric that's brand new and slap it on there. For one thing, it won't match. And another thing, that new patch will just tear that garment apart when you put it through the washing machine. Now, guys, if you don't mind my saying it, you've got an old rag religion. It's full of holes. And if I were to patch it with the truths of God, the whole thing would just rip the stuffing out of your tired old religion. So here's what I'm going to suggest to you. You need to take the beautiful robe of righteousness that I have to offer you, because in it is not woven even one thread of human devising. Let me put it to you another way, Jesus said. No one ever takes new wine and pours it into old wineskins, because it will split the wineskins and just make a terrible mess. But, you know, the truth be told, you guys like old wine. You like your old ways. You're drunk with them. You can't see straight. You can't think. You're stuck with this stuff. If I were to take the fresh wine of God's grace and pour it into your tight, narrow, constricted, brittle little hearts, the whole thing would be wasted. What I wish more than anything is that you had open, supple hearts to receive all I have to give you. Jesus is making the appeal. Jesus is trying to get through to these guys that there's something beyond mere traditionalism. And I can't help but believe that he's not just talking to these stodgy Pharisees back then. He's talking to you, and he's talking to me today. And there are four particular things that come to my mind as I reflect on the meaning of this story. And the first of these is this. People are more important than traditions. Would you say that with me? People are more important than traditions. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. People are more important than traditions. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about scrapping the absolutes. I'm not talking about trashing the non-negotiables of our faith. I'm talking about the packaging. I'm talking about the styling of things. But you know what? We struggle with that kind of thing, don't we? I mean, we're comfortable with the way we do things. We've had our policies and our patterns and our traditions and ways of doing things, and we're comfortable with this kind of thing. At the same time, we look out at the world around us and we see the emerging generations, and they think differently than we do. They have a different perspective on things than we do. Spiritual things access them differently. And our tendency is to say, you know what? If these people just want to fit into our mold and our way of doing things, fine. But I'm not at all interested in changing for the sake of reaching them. And the tragedy is that we let so often our matters of style get in the way of our effectively reaching people for Jesus Christ. We've got to keep reminding ourselves that people are more important than traditions. Therefore, we need to be prepared to do whatever it takes to reach people for Jesus Christ. Anything, as long as it doesn't compromise the essential principles of the gospel. The second principle that I can see here is that we need to be totally honest. Totally honest with ourselves. Totally honest with each other. Totally honest about God. And that's a tough one for traditionalists. Because traditionalists get involved in this self-talk kind of thing. Traditionalists will say to themselves, I've got it all figured out. I got it all put together. I have nothing else to come to an understanding of because I'm perfect. I got it all. You know, people who wear their halos too tightly give other people headaches. You know what I'm talking about? And they figure that since they have their traditions, their ruts, their ways of doing things, they've got an edge on God. It's really sad. Traditionalists are also dishonest in their relationships with other people. They're kind of like the Pharisees at Matthew's dining room window. They look in on things and they don't go direct. They don't deal directly with the people they're having difficulty with as they move through transitions and changing times. They go around them when what we really need to do is go person to person and heart to heart. Traditionalists have a hard time being honest about God. Oh, they know the law of God, but they don't know the heart of God. They don't understand what grace is about and what God's heart yearns for. People like this are just eager for a one-size-fits-all approach to spirituality. They want everybody to look and sound and muddle along the same. They just figure, you know, if everybody's the same, then we've got it made. What we need to know is that God is not looking for some kind of lockstep uniformity. He's looking for a unity and diversity where we are open with each other, where we have this attitude of openness and acceptance and resilience, where we respect each other and move along together. God wants us to be honest at every single level. The third thing that I can see here in the story is that God needs us to be open, and he needs us to be open in our attitudes towards change. And you know what that requires? It requires that we are people of the book. So important that we be people of the book, that we study for ourselves so that we know what God says on any given subject, that we study together as a people so that we have a shared understanding of the big picture. We need to understand what God is talking about here. And traditionalists will tell you, nope, we can't do anything new. We got to do it the old way. That's the only way. Just don't ask any questions. Don't ask why. Just check your brains at the door and get with the program. But people who do life and ministry like Jesus do are amazingly open people. They are people who are discerning. They are people who understand the difference between a wedding ceremony and a bridal couple. There are people who understand the difference between patches and garments. There are people who understand the difference between wineskins and new wine. There are people who understand the difference between form and essence. These are people who have the ability to move through changing times and stay fresh and relevant because they know what God says, they know what the absolutes are, and they are principle-driven people who have the ability to flex appropriately with the times. Fourth and last, and this is so important, nothing takes the place of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you say that with me? Nothing takes the place of a personal relationship with Jesus. How much? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, you can eat tofu burgers until you are blue in the face. You can wear a necktie to church and sing hymns with the choir all day long. You can keep the Sabbath just so, and it isn't going to save you. All you're going to have at the end of the day is a religious pig with lipstick. I'm talking about when you've got a Christless, legalistic, self-centered, do-it-my-way, keep-the-traditions-only, surface-deep kind of religion. It is never going to satisfy the deepest longings of the heart. Nothing takes the place of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in the stories that Jesus tells here, he's making the appeal to us today to come into a personal relationship with him. He's saying, I want to get married to you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I always want us to be together, and we will have the greatest celebration you have ever seen. Jesus says to us today, I want you to take that rotten old robe of self-righteousness that you've been wearing and take it off. Just relieve yourself of that old rag. And in its place, let me clothe you in the beautiful robe of my righteousness, in which there's not even a single thread of human devising. Jesus says, I want to open up your life, and I want to pour into it the fresh wine of my grace. I want to fill you with the freshness of the Spirit so that you are alive and fully free to be all that I've called you to be. Jesus is calling us into a relationship with him. It's the only thing that matters. And when we have that, we will be refreshingly awake and alive and free to move with the times and with each other and Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we've been hanging around the windows, pointing our fingers, clucking our tongues, all wrapped up in the tyranny of our traditionalism when we could have been feasting and rejoicing at your table. Please, give us your perspective on things. Help us sort out the issues and distinguish between the essentials and the non-essentials, the wineskins and the wine. Keep us fresh. Keep us supple. We pray in your holy name. Amen.